Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The scripture text that I have selected for today is from Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Jesus said, "If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you." One thing I've learned from these words before us today is that conflict has always been in the Christian church from the very beginning. And while we often complain about this situation, we can grow to recognize that conflict is full of opportunity. Opportunity to glorify God, opportunity to confess our sins to one another and forgive other people, and opportunity to be reconciled, made right with other people. John and Mary had a troubled marriage. Out in public, they seemed fine. They put up a good front with their friends and acquaintances and at church. But they were conflicted inside and in their home on many issues, from how to parent their children to their spending habits to even whether Mary should work outside the home or not. One day they asked their pastor for help. And they expected him to say that divorce is a sin and that they should just try harder to love one another. But their pastor surprised them, as when they came together, he got out the Holy Scriptures and he asked them to read this passage from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. "So whatever you do, whatever you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God." And then the pastor asked them, "I hear your situation. How can you bring glory to God in your current situation?" The pastor's reply was really this: instead of dwelling on what you want from each other, what you're not getting, or what others have done wrong to you, we have an opportunity to rejoice in the Lord and to bring him praise when we depend on him for his forgiveness and wisdom and love and his power. And just because someone does something or says something that hurts you does not mean that you should hurt them or gossip about them, which means go and repeat that to other people, or to take them to court. St. Paul said, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the sight of everyone. If it is possible, for as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." When we seek, really try to be at peace with people we are in conflict with, instead of making war, we bring glory to God. And the world looks at us and sees our good deeds and then gives glory to our Father who is in heaven. Now, it's important to know, friends, that there is a big difference between resolving conflict and being reconciled with other people. Divorce brings a resolution to conflict, but does not bring reconciliation. It exchanges, really, one set of bad feelings for another. The next time you find yourself in conflict and you either want to run away or attack the other person through maybe litigation or harsh words or actions, remember this. Remember that God chose reconciliation over conflict resolution with us. He could have resolved the conflict of sin very easily, just condemned us all and destroyed us. But he resolved it through reconciliation. He sent Jesus as his mediator. And while we were still enemies of God, Christ came to reconcile the world to himself. He gave his life to bring justice for us. And he rose from the dead. And now he tells us that he has defeated our sins, he has defeated our death, and he gives that victory over to us. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you will have probably noticed that we Christians don't deal with conflict any better than anybody else in the world. For instance, one family becomes so upset with something at church that they stop coming to church. And pretty soon in the mail, the pastor might receive a letter of transfer. They want to leave the church. So if, as a pastor, I call them up, oftentimes they say, well, they like this or that thing about the new church, but they just won't tell me what the real issue is, what it is that drove them away from the church that they had been at so long, maybe their whole life. They don't want to be reconciled to the real issue. And friends, I have felt this way myself at many times, that I just wanted to run away, or I didn't want to really hear or tell anybody the real problem. Running away or denying there's a problem only makes matters worse, because you abandon people that God has committed you to love and to take care of, and it takes away that opportunity for real inner peace that we all want to have. On the other hand, sometimes we try to resolve issues by attacking other people through speaking words that hurt, or even perhaps litigation. And St. Paul wrote, "How dare you take a dispute between one believer and another to civil court? The fact that you have lawsuits among you means that you have completely been defeated already." I read this and I think to myself, isn't that what murder really is? When you resolve conflict by attacking another person? But it really doesn't have to be this way at all, especially among Christians. And that's where our text comes in today. Jesus says, if your brother has something against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. And notice he says, if your brother has something against you, you go and talk to him about it. If someone claims that you have wronged them, it's your Christian responsibility to seek that person out and to be reconciled. And this is where the opportunity for real reconciliation that Jesus would bring into the world begins. And this confrontation is good if it comes from a proper Christian attitude of humility and of patience and a genuine love for the other person and a desire to end conflict and be reconciled. And if you're the one who has sinned against that person, then it is your responsibility to admit it, to confess it to them. Don't just say, I'm sorry. Because sorry can mean a lot of things, can't it? Sorry can mean, I'm sorry that you feel this way. But I know I'm right. I'm sorry that you have such a closed mind. I'm sorry that I got caught. And that's not true confession, is it? Instead, the Christian uses words like, I confess my sin against you. And this is what I've done. And he avoids words like if, but, or maybe, because those are real qualifiers. They become excuses, not apologies. These words usually blow the mind of the other person. We're not expecting to hear people confess their sins to us. Even though we're Christians and taught to do this, we just don't seem to practice it today. But we can, and we should. And if someone else comes to you and confesses their sins to you, what do you say? Well, the first thing usually out of our mouth is, well, it's all right. It's not a problem. Stop! It's not all right that that person sinned against you, against your feelings, or their actions against you. Sin is a serious trespass on God's law and on your feelings. Instead, say, I forgive you. Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in one day and comes to you 7 times and says, I repent, forgive him. Forgive him. You see, conflict is an opportunity to confess our sins and to proclaim forgiveness to others. If a meeting like this between two people can't bring peace, then someone else should be invited, as Jesus' words tell us, to meet with them. We call this mediation. Example, Paul has a neighbor named Jack. And Paul's neighbor Jack planted a tree in his backyard. It was a nice little sapling, and he planted it pretty close to the fence. It was fine for years, but then the thing grew up and became such a big tree that it was crowding into Paul's yard, and its branches were growing so long they were starting to scrape on the siding of Paul's house. And so Jack talked to him about it, and there was a little altercation there. That's my tree, and I can plant a tree wherever I want. It's not against the law. And Paul said, well, I'm just going to cut it down. And Jack said, if you do that, I'll take you to court. And they didn't talk for a long time. They couldn't resolve this. But then Jack thought about it, and he went to Paul, and he said, look, I said some bad words against you, and I really did wrong, and I've sinned against you. I'm sorry that I confess that to you. But Paul still wouldn't listen to him. And one day, Jack said, look, we need to put this to rest here, because the trees are getting bigger and bigger, you know. And he says, I've got a friend who's an arborist. Could I ask him to come by, and we could just talk about some different options for the tree? And his neighbor said, yes. And you know, that day they sat down and they thought about it, and the arborist gave them all kinds of ways that they could save the tree and yet trim it in a way that made everybody happy on both sides. In situations where two parties refuse to be reconciled, even when someone else is invited to mediate for them, we have the Lord's instruction as Christians to tell it to the church. And the point is not to embarrass the person, but to enlist the congregation's help through prayer and encouragement for that person or those parties to be reconciled, to repent or forgive, whatever their role may be. And finally, Jesus says in this chapter of Matthew 18, if reconciliation is really not possible and not reached after much effort, then we are to treat the person as an unbeliever. And I believe what he means there is not that we shun them or pretend that they don't exist, but we simply recognize them as someone who needs to be reached with the gospel of the forgiveness of sins once again. They have been lost to us in that area, and we are to call them back. So you can see that in all these steps that Jesus gives, the go and tell, the bring a mediator, to tell the church, and to treat like an unbeliever, in every step, the goal is always reconciliation, bringing people back together and back to God, that we may live as one people. Because no one deserves to be attacked or abandoned, because God wants us to reach out to everyone in love. That's how our Heavenly Father values us. And he values us enough to give himself, his own son, to die for each one of us. Thinking about these words brings me to make a confession of my own to you today. Usually, I hear your confession, but today it's a little different. I need you to hear mine. Because as I look at my own life and my work among you as your pastor, I haven't always followed these words of Jesus. Sometimes people have left this church and I haven't reached out to them, especially if it's because of something I said or I did to them. It's just much easier to let them go. And you know, this empty pew up here reminds me a lot of people are missing over the years from our church. This is my sin, and it burdens me. Don't justify it by saying that I'm too busy and there's too many people here to care for. I confess it to God, and I confess it to you because it is a sin against you as my congregation. But I'm asking for your forgiveness. And I really need to hear that from you and from God. The question I have is, do I have it? And you need to hear forgiveness from other people too, from the ones that you have wronged. I encourage you to seek them out. Jesus promises peace and joy when we do it, and he gives us the power to grant forgiveness from what he's done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've heard one of your pastors confess his sins against you and against God. This time I'd like to invite you to turn to the top of page 159 and join in with me in proclaiming the words of the gospel and its absolution that Pastor Wright has so often brought to us. So we speak the words at the top of the page to you, Pastor Wright. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go in peace, brother.